Welcome to Notes from a Drama Watcher, a podcast about East Asian dramas. It's part recap, part review, and there will definitely be spoilers ahead. Welcome to episode 39 of Notes from a Drama Watcher. In this episode, we'll be talking about Sing My Crush and Laws of Attraction, the finale, and the series as a whole. So I'm going to start off with Sing My Crush. I'm just going to talk kind of quickly about the series as a whole. I actually binge watched this, and I read somewhere that they didn't release this weekly, that it had all the episodes dropped together. So Sing My Crush, I didn't really know much about. Saw the title, saw someone saying they were watching it, and that was pretty much it. It's a show about Han Baram and Im Ha-tae. Han Baram and Im Ha-tae actually were studying how to play guitar, but Han Baram was taking it very seriously. This was a career that he wanted for himself. His teacher for the guitar lessons was Sang-in, and Han Baram had a crush on Sang-in that he considered his first love, and he wrote a song for him called Apology. So actually, he's a singer-songwriter. This was all going on while they are in high school. And he sings this song for his teacher. His teacher, this person's, you know, doesn't return the feelings. And Han Baram, of course, is very sad about this, and he's crying in a park. And Im Ha-tae is walking by and stumbles upon Han Baram in distress, basically, and sits next to him and, you know, tries to comfort him. And that's the beginning of their friendship. They appear to be in high school. They're wearing school uniforms at the time. Fast forward to many years later. They have remained very good friends and are, in fact, roommates. In the meantime, Han Baram has developed feelings for Im Ha-tae. I mean, who wouldn't? You know, he's a very puppy dog kind of person, caring, and just his whole focus is on making Han Baram's life better. It is a Korean BL, so like a lot of Korean shows, the cinematography is beautiful. Even considering there's actually not a lot of scenery change, so to speak. They spent a lot of time in the park. They spent a lot of time in the storefront where Han Baram was taking lessons when he was younger. And then when he was older, it becomes a studio space for the band that he's now a part of to practice in. And in their apartment, the apartment that Han Baram and Im Ha-tae live. And then we see a little bit of Im Ha-tae's, his mom's apartment. They never showed his dad, but the mom's apartment, which looks really gorgeous. They never said, I don't think, that he came from money, but that's a really gorgeous apartment. So beautiful cinematography. The pacing was really good. It was not rushed in any way. It also wasn't too slow. It's 8 episodes, not a lot going on necessarily. And it's really a very much a slice of life show. And it's kind of their day-to-day things that they go through with Han Baram being part of this band and Im Ha-tae being their manager. But it's a really fluffy show, I would say. That's what I just call it, total fluff. If you're looking for something that's fluff, this is good. There is some angst because, as I said, the years pass. And it turns out Sang-in somehow remembers the lyrics to the song that Han Baram sung for him and wrote for him. And Sang-in is now part of a K-pop band and claims that the song is his, that he wrote the song. And they only find this out when Han Baram sings the song at the club that they normally sing at and someone records it. And then Sang-in's company gets wind of someone singing the song and saying that it was their song. So Sang-in is the villain of the piece. He's not truly villainous, really. He's like a low-level villain. He's someone who is really invested in this K-pop career. And of course, if you know anything about K-pop, you know companies invest very heavily into their idols. So of course, the company is going to put a lot of pressure on him that there's a scandal around this song because they've invested a lot of money into him and his bandmates. So I call him a sad excuse for an old acquaintance rather than some big time villain. Although he is villainous in one sense in that he's trying to pressure Han Baram into dropping the claim that the song is his. And since he knows Han Baram is gay, he sort of insinuates like, oh, what if people know about this? And it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt the people around you if this gets out. You know, he has that kind of insinuation. And throughout all this, Im Ha-tae has no idea what's going on. He just sees Han Baram not
fighting and sticking up for himself. And so he wants to know why and pressures him to know why. And that's when he finds out that Hamaram has a crush on him. And this, of course, is going to change their relationship. So very enjoyable show. Like I said, total fluff. If you're looking for something quick to watch, like most Korean BLs, episodes are about half an hour long and it's 8 episodes total. There are other characters in the show. His Hanbaram's bandmates are there and they are called Youngmi and Jungpal, and they are cute. They like each other. It's a head couple and they like each other. Youngmi is, she's kind of a little bossy. I actually thought she was the oldest person in the band, but she's calling Hanbaram Opa, which brings me to something else, actually, that I looked up how old these actors were. I can't believe the actor playing Hanbaram is 27 years old. He's got such a baby face. Along with that baby face, he's got a deep voice. It reminds me so much of Felix from Stray Kids. But very deep voice. And I think I read that he was... he's a singer as well. So I'm assuming it's him actually singing the song Apology in the show. And if it is him, he's got a beautiful voice. I actually got goosebumps at one point when I was listening to him sing. That's how beautiful his voice is. It's a music-based drama. So it's funny. About a week or so ago, someone on Reddit was asking, like, what are things that you find cringe in dramas? I think they were asking about BLs, but let's say dramas. And one thing someone mentioned was every time somebody picks up a guitar. And I was like, that is me. I do find that very cringe normally. And I wind up just skipping past. Mostly because a lot of times it has nothing to do with the story, really. It doesn't move the story forward in any way. And I feel like it's just wasting time so that the writers don't have to come up with something for that moment. You know, it's just filler. But in this case, the song Apology, it's very integral to the show. So I didn't mind that they were singing a lot or playing the guitar or whatever. Plus, as I said, he's got a gorgeous voice. So if you like music-based shows, this will be good for you. And even if you don't, you can give it a chance too. I gave it a chance and I really enjoyed it. So that was Sing My Crush. That can be found in iQIYI. I'm not sure if it's anywhere else. Like I said, I kind of stumbled upon it because I've actually had a subscription to iQIYI forever. I was just never using it and finally was like, I need to be using this thing that I'm paying for. And because I'm watching Laws of Attraction on there, because of having the subscription, I decided to see some other things that are on there as well. So actually, I'm also watching, I'm not going to talk about it here, but I'm also watching Love in Translation. And I'm kind of liking that so far. It's a little more fluff too, but sometimes we need that, right? So the next show I'm going to talk about is Laws of Attraction. What a roller coaster ride Laws of Attraction has been, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. Even when something wasn't quite up to snuff, I knew better things were coming around the corner. Episode 7 left us on a very emotional note, with Chan apparently headed towards certain death, and Tin calling out for him at the airport while being restrained by Nawin's henchmen. I actually forgot to mention in my last podcast that in the scene between Chan and Tin, I feel like I really saw that smile from Chan that I had been wondering if we would ever see. An episode, I don't remember which episode it is now, but one of the earlier ones, we saw a little more of Chan's background when he first graduated to being a lawyer and he got his first case and he was so excited and he had this really beautiful, wide smile. And I wondered at that time if we would ever see that smile again from Chan. And I think we did see a little bit of it here at the end of Chapter 7. Not the excitement of it necessarily, but a real, very real wide-eyed smile from him when he's looking at Tin. It's not the exact smile. I think Chan is just too jaded for that with everything he's been through. But it's as close as we've ever seen from him. That was a smile of pure love that he gave Tin. There's no doubt in the world that Chan loves Tin with all his heart. We saw it in the smile and we saw it in him giving him the necklace, but we saw it in that smile even before he gave the necklace. His heart, you know, heart eyes and everything towards Tin in that moment. Chan being Chan, though, we know that even though he was sort of saying goodbye in episode 7, we know he's smart enough to have taken some precautions because he's Chan, right? So we know he probably took some kind of precautions,
to be sure he can try to get out of his encounter with, or his confrontation with the senator, alive. But of course, it's always the chance of something going wrong, which is why he didn't want Tin or anyone else around when he confronted the senator. I mean, note that Rose and Maya were safely in the van, away from all the action, while Chan was getting the senator to incriminate himself on camera. Of course, though, he should have known that Tin, there's no way in the world that Tin was going to sit idly by knowing that his boyfriend was in danger. And of course, the plan, Chan's plan goes off the rails when one of the henchmen is tipped off that the senator's whole confession has been live streamed. In the ensuing chaos, Tin arrives because he manages to get away from Na Win's house, and he gets into a fight with the senator, who's going to try to shoot Chan. He actually did shoot him, but shoot him again. And he's trying to shoot Tin, right? He's trying to kill them all. And he goes to shoot Tin, and Chan jumps in front of the gun, and he shoots Chan instead. And for just a second, you're like, are they really going to kill Chan, right? I thought it was a possibility that they would, a high possibility that they would kill Chan. On the other hand, like I said, Chan is smart. So I was figuring, hopefully he was wearing a bulletproof vest, but you weren't quite sure for a moment. And actually, the senator shoots him multiple times. And do we need even more evidence that Chan loves Tin? I mean, more than that smile in episode 7, more than him telling Tin all his secrets, you know, more than him giving, than Chan giving Tin his mother's ring. This is the ultimate proof. Because even if he is wearing a bulletproof vest, those gunshots were going off so close that the senator still could have killed him. And actually, at one point, he turns around to lunge, Chan turns around to lunge towards Tin to hug him to protect Tin's body. And his back is to the senator. The senator could have shot him in the head or anywhere else, and there's nothing Chan could have done about it. And he didn't care in that moment. His whole focus was on protecting Tin, and he knew he had the best chance, right? Because he knew he was wearing the vest. But it was still a risk he was taking, but he was just focused on protecting Tin as the senator kept shooting. I saw someone saying afterwards that Chan was being dramatic when he was... So he fainted, he passed out after the gunshots, and he's laying in Tin's arms. And Rose comes, shoots at the senator, and he runs away. And then Rose and Maya and Tin are calling to Chan. They're calling his name, trying to get him to wake up, and he's not responding at first. And then he says something like, oh, someone like me can't die easily, like a little bit of a joke. And some people interpreted that as he never fainted, like he was just being dramatic the whole time. And I'm like, that's not actually, I don't think that's what happened there. He was shot multiple times. A bulletproof vest, it prevents the bullet from getting to his body, but he still feels an impact. I know I've heard that you can still get bruised ribs at that, those close shots. You could possibly still get a broken rib as well. At the very least, he probably got the wind knocked out of him. And remember, he had actually been shot. He'd been shot in the arm. So I do believe that he did pass out momentarily. And that little smile he has when he wakes up was like the joy of still being alive, you know? And Chan being Chan is going to crack a little joke anyway. But I do believe he did pass out. He was hurt from those shots. Now, he does wind up in the hospital. Tin is there taking care of him, cutting him fruits and everything. And Chan is milking it because Chan is Chan. And it's just a cute scene between them. Grandma comes in and almost catches a Tin in the act of kissing Chan. She knew exactly what was going on, but almost catches him in the act of kissing Chan. And so they're back to being sweet with each other. And while all of that was going on with them, we continued the story of Tan and T. T had been being held captive, basically, by some of... Senator Tatep's other henchmen. And in the meanwhile, Tan was on a plane about to be flown away to JFK. Sorry, JFK is John F. Kennedy Airport in New York City. And he's on the plane, clearly distraught, doesn't want to leave. And, you know, it cuts away and we see T escaping, but we don't know what's happened to Tan. T eventually makes his way to the airport and Tan's flight has already taken off. Turns out Tan was not on the flight. He managed to get off and they get together. And sort of jumping back into what happened, Senator Tatep was arrested and asked to see Chan. And Chan goes to see him and the senator is like, gloating basically, like, you can't keep me in here for long, kind of, and threatens Chan and threatens Tin and Chan's friends. And I was like, are you kidding me? Because he makes his threats, he leaves, and Chan gets one of his smiles that he hasn't had for a while. And next thing you know, we're seeing some, well, we see the senator get attacked in the jail, and then we see the news reports that the senator has been killed. They say he committed suicide, but he did not. He was stabbed and he was beaten. And I knew he was probably going to die before the end of the show, but he actually probably could have lived. Because when he made his threat to Chan, I think Chan would have been perfectly fine with him just being in jail and, letting the justice system do its work. The minute that the senator threatened Tin, it was game over. That was it. Tin and Rose and Maya and my extended and grandma, when those threats came into place, there was no way Chan was going to let him live. And you know that he sort of had that backup plan in his head, because even when he was in the hospital, Tin was saying, like, oh, he's gonna kind of saying, like, oh, he's gonna be released as soon as people forget about what he did. And Chan's like, I'm not gonna let that happen. So I think he had this kind of backup plan in his head and was just seeing how the senator was gonna play it. But as soon as those threats came in, that was it. And I don't know if he got Na Win to do it, or if he just whispered into the ears of the right people that, at this moment the senator would be unprotected or whatever it might be. But I fully believe that Chan had something to do with the senator being killed. And it goes to show you, even though Chan is this good person now, quote unquote, he's gone back to being the good Chan of when his mother was alive, he still hasn't fully gone back there. He's still got some of that. I don't really want to use the word shady, because I don't think he's going to be shady from now on, like we saw him being in episode one. I don't think that's going to be the case. He is going to be doing, I think, good things. And we see him actually in episode eight taking on a case that he might not have taken on otherwise if it wasn't for Tin asking him to look into it. But this shows us that he has the ability to do those things if needed. He's not Mr. Righteous or whatever as Tin might be. He's just willing to do good things, I think, for Tin's sake, and so that Tin will be proud of him, so that his mom will be proud of him. But he recognizes that there may be times he has to get into this shady mode, if you threaten his loved ones. And the senator found that out, unfortunately. I mean, he should have known. He seems to have, they said he worked with Chan for years, so I don't know how he didn't realize that Chan had this ability to do this, but now he knows, unfortunately for him. And because he passed away, that leaves Tan on his own. They never mention any other family or whatever, so I guess it was just him and the senator. Tan is sad that his father has passed, even with everything that his father did to him. That was still his dad, and he still loved him. But I had said in a previous podcast that the only way Tan was going to be free is if the senator was gone. And, I think it's true. Like, when the senator was in jail after Chan had exposed him, Tan actually went to see him, and the senator refused to see him. He wasn't going to learn anything from what had happened. He didn't want to try to reach out to his son. He still had this anger towards his son. And I think that just always was going to be the case. And Tan was always going to trying to be striving towards getting his father's love, and it was just never going to happen. And the only way for him, like I said, to be free was that for the senator to be gone, as sad as it was for Tan to lose his father. But he does have T. T has sworn to stay by his side, and I think he will. He loves him. He's loved him for almost his entire life. Now, this episode was a little bit longer than the usual. Usually they're about 54 minutes long for all the other episodes, so this one was about 6 or 7 minutes longer. All of this that I was just saying, the confession on TV, the jail, whatever, all of that was practically like the first half hour of the episode. The next half hour was just, well, some of T and Tan's story was in the next half hour, but it was just all everyone's happy ending. I loved, loved, loved the last half hour of the finale. I really like when we get to know what happens in the future with people, but most times it's they'll show 1 year later and they'll show whatever the happy ever afters are within the last 2 minutes of the show. But no, this show gave us like a whole half hour. And it was funny because before I watched that last half hour, we had that scene, the cute scene in the hospital between Tin and Chan. And then we had Tin once again singing his love proposal song to Chan. And I remember thinking, like, I would be completely happy with the whole or the rest of the show just being cute moments between Tin and Chan. And that's pretty much what we got. And I was totally here for it. I loved it. I really liked that they had the marriage proposal, and I saw a reaction that someone did where they felt like that was too quick for them to get married. And normally I would say yes, except that part of the marriage, right, would be getting to know your partner, seeing them at their worst, seeing them at their best, going through trials and tribulations together. They've gone through all of that. Tin and Shan have gone through all of that. They've seen each other at their worst. They've seen each other at their best. They've definitely gone through trials and tribulations. They have spent time together. They've traveled together. Traveling with someone can be very eye-opening. They've traveled together. They've pretty much seen it all, really. They don't have the benefit of time necessarily, but they've seen everything just compacted into a short amount of time. So I'm okay with the whole proposal and with them getting married. I happen to know someone in real life, a family member who got engaged after 3 months and got married, and they've been married for more than 20 years. So it's not totally out of the realm of reality that would happen. And they didn't even go through everything that Tin and Chan went through. But it was just a really beautiful ending to the show. We got to see their wedding with their loved ones with them, with their family, right? Rose and Maya are family at this point, or their Chan's family. So they had their wedding with their neighbors, with grandma, with Rose and Maya, and the dolls, representing Tung Kao is with them there in spirit. It was kind of a sad and sweet moment at the same time when they pans in on those dolls. And we also got to see at one point Rose and Maya holding up their hands, showing that they were wearing matching rings, like they had gotten engaged. We saw T and Tan together on a bed. We finally got a kiss from them. It was just all so sweet in that last half hour. I am not someone who hates seeing a season two of shows. Some people feel that you absolutely should not have season twos. I don't agree. I think if something's really good, you should have a season two. I would totally be down for a Manor of Death season two. You don't always need a season two. Cutie Pie season two, I thought was kind of unnecessary. I mean, it was cute, but it was kind of unnecessary. It didn't really move the story forward. Laws of Attraction, I could definitely see season two in the sense of like these two guys, Tin and Chan, doing some crime fighting or something, solving a case, but it's not completely necessary. They really wrapped up everyone's story here. We know that Chan and Tin are probably going to have their happily ever after. They are married. Chan threatened Tin if he ever left him, so if he ever left him, so we know Tin's going to stick around. T and Tan are together, and we know Rose and Maya are together. I don't know that we would get a season two, but I would definitely watch a spin-off with T and Tan, some kind of special. I would definitely watch a special or spin-off with Rose and Maya. I think they're super interesting, actually. So as a whole, it's no secret I really love this show. I've been saying since episode one how much I love it. There were moments I thought it was a bit rushed. I mean, it was only eight episodes. I think it probably could have been 10. T and Tan's story, because the show was so rushed, they rushed from what seems to be a kind of platonic. It was never platonic on T's part. He's always loved Tan, but there was no romance necessarily showing between them. And then in episode six, all of a sudden, episode seven, they were in a bed together, having just been intimate. Like, obviously, there was a scene missing there that could have been there. A few other things, episode two, I think it was, when there was. When Tan actually got stabbed in the arm after being in a fight. When he gets out of the car before even fighting, like his shirt is dirty. So, like, the editing wasn't done well there either. Again, probably more rushing, but those are editing issues. Like, I thought the story itself was tight. I thought it was well written. Even though I feel like the show could have been longer, it was, for the most part, it went at a good pace. I never felt like there was wasted time. I don't even know if we needed an episode 10 necessarily, but even an episode 9 would have been good. Or even just if each episode was just extended by just a couple more minutes, because the missing scene with Tian Tan, that could have just been resolved with just 30 seconds more showing they were about to be intimate or something like that. Like that would not have taken a whole extra episode. So the writing was good. The acting, everyone was good. Everyone was good here. I mentioned before, I think it's C is his name, the one who plays Tan. You can see a little bit of inexperience from him in the beginning. I actually think he got better as the show went along. And for sure, as I mentioned in my previous podcast in episode 7, the scene where he finds out why is it that his father hates him so much, he acted very well in that scene, portraying the heartbreak that Tan must have been feeling in that moment. So he definitely, I think, got more comfortable as the show went along. Pearl was good, who played T. Didn't have a lot of lines in the beginning. He got more lines later on. And I mean, Jam and Film. What more can I say about Jam and Film? Before I get to them, I don't know the actress' name for Rose, but she portrayed her role very well as this longtime friend of Chan's who, is running this club and is trying to be supportive of him, but at the same time is also trying to kind of pull him back to where he was because she knew him before his mother was killed. So she knows the old Chan. And she was probably excited in her own way to see that he had found Tin and that Tin was being this good influence on him. And then Maya, I think Sylvie is her name. I didn't know her before. I don't remember what show people said she was in, but there were a lot of people on Twitter who seemed to be, and Reddit, who seemed to be pretty excited that she was in Laws of Attraction. I don't know her, but I thought she was good in her role. She's got a beautiful voice. I loved her singing. And then Jam and Film. Jam was really good playing across from Film. As I said before, when you see him in interviews, he considers himself to be an inexperienced actor, and I don't see him that way. I think he has done really well on this show, playing this loving uncle, this upstanding member of society, showing the complete love that he had for Chan's character once he finally opened his heart to him. And then, of course, Film, who, again, I've seen Film in many things. I just finished finally really watching My Lucky Star because I had watched it before, kind of skipping around, whatever. But I finished really, really focusing on it and watching it recently. Maybe I'll do a review in a podcast. I'm not sure. I've been doing so many Thai shows lately. I feel like I should do something from another country, in Asia. But he's really good in everything I've seen him in. But this role in particular has really let him spread his wings and show his acting chops. I saw an interview where it was translated since I don't speak Thai, where he was saying that this has been his favorite role so far, and I can imagine as an actor it must be. You really get to stretch your abilities and you get to play someone with so many layers to them. Chan has so many layers to him, and I've seen like in reviews and on my drama list that there were a few people that watched episode 1. They didn't like Chan and then they dropped it. And I was like, "Oh man, you're missing the point of Chan." Episode 1, he's supposed to be shady. And then you start seeing the hints already in episode 2, right? Then you start seeing the hints that there's a lot more underneath this character. And it's our duty, our job, our joy as the audience to watch as the layers peel away and we get to really discover who this person is. That's part of the joy of watching the show. And for those people who drop it in episode 1, they're missing out on that. I wonder if part of that is, so this is a Lacarne type show. Mystery thriller that happens to be BL, perhaps is the way to look at it. There's not a lot of BL on 131. Very little, in fact. Most of the BL is on GMMTV, and those are straightforward stories. You don't really have nuanced characters. So, from episode 1 who everyone is. You don't get that in a LaCorne show. And so I think in a way there were members of the audience who were not used to this character that they had to get to know over the course of several episodes. It's not up front and in your face like with a GMMTV show. And I'm not saying this to disparage GMMTV at all. Like, I watch plenty of GMMTV shows. It's just a different style that people have to get used to. And I don't know if there will be that willingness to even get used to it. I'm curious as to who the audience for Laws of Attraction turned out to be. Is it just people who are watching LaCorne's anyway? Like, I actually watch LaCorne's anyway as well as watching BL. Or did they actually get and keep people who strictly watch BL shows? I'm curious about this. I don't know if there's a way to find out, but it is something I'm curious about. I know people are already clamoring for a third collaboration between Jam and Film. Jam has said in several interviews that he would love to play like a mafia type person. And I think that would be very interesting to have these guys play two like opposing mafia dons or maybe opposing CEOs or whatever. On the one hand, I would be totally for that. On the other hand, even though I say like Jam does not come across as an inexperienced actor, he is a new lead actor. And for his own career's sake, I don't know that I want him to be pigeonholed, unfortunately, right? Because he's just starting out and we don't want him always playing against Film. He should have the ability to play against other people, to play with other couples, etc. So as much as I would love to see him in a third collaboration with Film, in a longer collaboration with Film, if he doesn't want to or if he doesn't think it's going to work for his career, then, you know, I'm going to totally support that. Film is an experienced actor. Film, I think, will get other projects. I think he's already working on another project right now, actually. So it's not as much of an issue for him. But for Jam, he's just too early in his career to be pigeonholed right now. As much as I would love to see him in Film working again, because I think their chemistry is off the charts. So great show all around. There are things that could have been improved, of course. I mean, every show, there's no perfect show. Every show has something they could improve upon. But I would definitely recommend this show to anyone. If anyone was asking me what to watch, especially if someone was asking me for a mature show, if they were asking me for something to follow up like Manner of Death or Not Me, I would definitely recommend this show for anyone to watch. And for anyone who watches LaCorne's and who not necessarily watches BL's, but just watches LaCorne's, I would also recommend this to them too, because it was definitely that LaCorne type show. Over the top, emotional, all of those things, twists and turns. Definitely LaCorne style. I would recommend it to anyone. And if you just want to see some straight up good acting, I would recommend this show as well. It's been a roller coaster and I've loved it. I'm kind of feeling a little bereft, you know, like what do I watch now that will hold a candle to the twists and turns of Laws of Attraction? I can't think of anything. I cannot think of any BL out right now that I would compare to Laws of Attraction that I feel like I'm going to get that same feeling from. I'm watching I Feel You Linger in the Air, but that's a very different type of show. I'm not expecting twists and turns and whatever from here. I think I will definitely enjoy it, but it's just a different type of show from Laws of Attraction. So I'm actually kind of sad it's over, you know? There's not that anticipation every week, like, oh, this weekend I will get to watch Laws of Attraction, or what's going to happen next? How evil is Chan going to be acting, or how good is he going to be acting? What do we expect from him? I'm not going to have that anymore. So I don't know what else to watch. I mean, does anyone have a suggestion? Let me know. I am still on Twitter, or X as it's called now. It's at DramaWatcher6. You can reach out to me via email, dramawatchernotes@gmail.com. If you've got a suggestion or anything you want to add about this show or this episode. And thanks for listening to me ramble on about this show that I've loved so much and I've been enjoying so much. And I hope to see you in the next podcast. I will say, Laws of Attraction was a really heavy show, right? So if you're looking for something with a little more fluff to kind of bring you back from Laws of Attraction, I have been watching Love in Translation, and that's been pretty good. So I've been enjoying that. Completely different show from Laws of Attraction, but if you want something to smile about and some fluff after the angst and Laws of Attraction, then Love in Translation is probably a good one to check out. So anyway, that is it for episode 39 of Notes from a Drama Watcher. Thank you so much for joining me, and stay safe, everyone.